welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in our sermon series, Riches of Grace. If you would like more information about our podcasts or North Valley Church, you can find us on our website, nvcmd.org. Morning again. Man, what a beautiful, beautiful day. I was hanging out outside for a minute with Dave Roberson while he was doing some greeting. I would just share, man, it's just so beautiful. I love this time of season. I love the crisp air. I like the colors. I like the watching it change. It's like it takes days for it to happen, but there's movement, right? There's things happening and altering. It's not static, and the briskness is refreshing. I love this time of season. Millie likes this time of year too. We normally on a fall we'll take a long day or maybe an overnight trip and go right around and just go up into northern central Pennsylvania and cruise around just looking at trees. Just take the whole day looking at trees. Just our schedules haven't allowed us to be able to do that. But we squeezed in a couple of hours Saturday morning, so we got to get in the car and drove out to Hancock, had some breakfast at the Park and Dine, drive up to McConnellsburg, and found a really, really cool coffee shop while we were doing that. As we're leaving McConnellsburg and going through Mercersburg, there was this store on the left. I'm driving, cruising along, and it's a stove and hearth place. Big sign, and they had one of those lighted things that you can change and write things up on there. So I'm cruising down the road, stove and hearth sign, and the big sign says, "Let's go, Brandon." And I'm like, wow, they're NASCAR fans. How cool is that? Because I'm a NASCAR fan too. Yeah, see, I got my Kyle Busch hat. He runs in the Cup race. Oh, he's not racing for the championship today. They're racing today for the championship. But he didn't make the final four cut. Gee, gosh, Willikers. He got bumped out last week. But yeah, so obviously that guy is a Brandon Brown fan, right? And he races in the Xfinity Cup. No. It means something different. For those of you who aren't plugged into all that, there's this comical thing that happened for this NASCAR driver, Brandon Brown, who's having this after-race interview that he was, and some people were shouting some things from the stands, and the announcer who was trying to interview Brandon mixed it up a wee bit, and she's like, "Oh, let's go, Brandon." That's not what they were saying. They were saying, expletive, bad word, Joe Biden. Bad word, Joe Biden. If you need to do the research, you can do that. If you don't already know, if you're curious, you can look at somebody who's grinning really hard, and they'll tell you what it is, but don't do it here in the church, if that's okay. So, right up there on the board, this guy's like, "Let's go, Brandon." Everybody who reads it, most people get it. That's not what he meant. He was saying something else. You can get T-shirts that say this. I was reading an article this morning. There's some guy in New Jersey making cookies, and he's like having record sales because he's making cookies that have that written on the top of the cookies. We're so cavalier about saying such mean, hateful things to people, right? I'm okay if we disagree with what the guy's doing and his politics, his ideology. I'm okay to say he's not doing a good job, even if he thought he was trying to accomplish his own job. I'm okay saying he's not doing a good job. But to celebrate and say that thing that's behind it, that's hostile. That's just not not who we should be. But some guy turned it into a rap song, and it's gone viral, and it is out of control. The rest of the world is like on board with this idea of saying the phrase and what's behind it. But I think that's out of bounds of where we should be. When I think about the context of all this that's going on, I ask myself the question, where, if Jesus was walking this walk, what would he be doing? I think that's a valid question to ask. I think the more pointed question we can ask is, what does Jesus want me to do? Like, this is going on, and I'm want us to not be okay with it. How do I respond to it? What's my role in this? I know that there's a piece of some of us who would like to get behind and go, man, can we wear the t-shirts to church? Ask me after the sermon. But I think we need to think about the hostility that's behind that phrase. Jesus came to put a death to that kind of hostility. Specifically, we are walking through, continuing in our series, going through the book of Ephesians. We are in the first part of it, entitled Riches of Grace. And we've been talking up until this point of God's grace and who we are in Christ and what that means. And today we're going to step forward into that, but Paul is going to step into a slightly new arena. And instead of talking about our individual blessing that we have through the grace of God that we have when we're in Jesus Christ, he's going to spread out the discussion a little bit. He's going to go to include more people. So contextualize it just for a little bit. During this time, there were two groups of people that you could generally classify as Gentiles and Jews, right? So the easy one, the Jews, they were the ones who were culturally Jewish. They could define their lineage back to Jacob, Israel. Right, and they would consider themselves Jew. If you were outside of that, they looked down on people who weren't culturally and biologically in that Jewish line. And so everyone else in the rest of the universe was considered a Gentile. And the Gentiles were outside of the Jews. And so you could look at two groups of people. But because of the Jews and their attitude, there was a great divide between those two groups. The Jews operated in their faith in such a way that they separated who the Gentiles were from what it is that they were doing and from God's activity. Jesus sought to do something about that. And Paul takes a moment in Ephesians chapter 2 to speak to that. Formerly, we were separated from God and each other, just like the Gentiles. And Paul describes it. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Just a quick note, if you're a note taker and you've got an outline or whatever, you want to underline the word formerly. This is something in the past. The Gentiles were there, but we are all there. Continuing on in verse 12, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. Paul is writing to get the Gentiles' attention, but he knows that the Jewish folk are reading his too. But he's making an accurate description. I mean, of the Gentiles were treated outside of God's world, and they were treated separate from who the Jews were. There was a separation of a relationship with God as well as a relationship between each other. We do that today, don't we? We very easily separate ourselves based on political ideologies. we very quickly are willing to put a label on somebody and put them in the other camp and then treat them differently and act like there's something wrong or deranged with them. And again, it's okay to disagree, but when it reaches the level of hostility, we're crossing a line. I don't think that's what God wants us to do. We do that with politics, right? You don't have to go far, look hard to find that we do that with race. That based on how people look and how they look different, we label them and categorize them and treat them in a different category. We're living in an age where it's going on both sides. No matter what color you are, there are people who want to separate based on that. And I don't think that's the thing that Jesus is shooting for. So while we're reading this and knowing that Paul is writing to this context of Gentiles and Jews, man, we're living in that kind of age as well. We may not separate based on Jewish culture or not Jewish culture, but man, we got lots of things today that we quickly grab a hold of and separate people out of. The point of Jesus coming is he wants to break those separations. Those things need to come down. And they need to come apart. He continues in verse 13, "But now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and the regulations." By the blood of Christ. So let's just pull a couple of big phrases. The blood of Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for all of our sins. See, the deal is we are all in that same boat. Whether we're Republican or Democrat or Libertarian, whether we're white or black or yellow or red, we all have the same need. There is something very unifying about our lostness. Without Christ, we're toast. Seriously, good metaphor pun there. You can go with that. Think about it for a little bit. Jesus died on the cross to heal that, to provide the healing that all of us need. Cooler yet, 3 days later, when he rose from the dead, he demonstrated he has the power and authority to do exactly that. He died the perfect lamb to pay the price for our sins. And when he rose again, he promised us that same resurrection. Look, I am who I said I am. And what I've got, this resurrection, I'm promising you the same thing. Step into it. Put your faith and trust in me. Accept my forgiveness and my leadership in your life. Your eternity is going to be set, but it's going to start right now today. We get to experience his forgiveness. We get to experience the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us, strengthens us and heals us. And we're all in a place where we need that. If you've never stepped into that before today, let's make today the day. Let's say, hey, you know what? I am tired of living and being fueled in a culture that values hostility. And I don't want to play in that sandbox anymore. If you are ready to make that step, man, let's do that today. I would love to talk to you after the service to help get you going on the best next steps. But if you don't think you can do that today, you can send an email to info@nvcmd.org. Please, let's not go another day living and thinking that being hostile like that to my fellow human beings with the same need is okay. It's just not. We're going to see bigger reasons why in a minute. In verse 15 in that passage, it says, "By setting aside in his flesh the law with his commands." I want to speak to that just for a moment. when Jesus came and died on the cross and rose again, he didn't nullify the law, he fulfilled it. We have a need of being reconciled to God. The Old Testament had put into place this system of sacrifices, but they were only temporary band-aids. And that you had to continually do those things repeatedly, done by people, imperfect priests, who had to sanctify for themselves before they could do it for you. But then it's all just a temporary fix until Jesus comes along. With Jesus, those sacrifices are put aside because he is the one sacrifice that qualifies for everybody for all my sins in the past, the present, and the future. He's the one sacrifice that applies to everybody who wants to step into a relationship with him. That's what Paul means when he says setting aside in his flesh the law. He set it aside by fulfilling exactly what God had shared in the Old Testament to the Israelites, which is what the Jews have been working to, right? So he's speaking to the Jews in that moment. Hey, Jesus has done something to put aside what it is that you guys have been holding on to in the law. And there's a new grace that he wants us to experience. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death in their hostility. I want you to think about that for his purpose was to bring a new humanity out of the two, that he wanted to get the Jews and the Gentiles together. Right? Well, a lot of times when we're talking in our culture, quite naturally so, especially in our American culture, we get a little bit me-focused. We're that kind of folks. And it's appropriate to say Jesus came and died for me and to reconcile my relationship with God. But I want to crack the egg open a little bit more. He didn't come just to reconcile a relationship with God. He came to bring us together as well. Look, we've all got this similar need. And that through this opportunity of being in Christ and focusing and having that need fulfilled in who Jesus Christ is, we have an opportunity to be together with all the people we've been separating from. That regardless of my political affiliation or the other person's political affiliation, I can be one in Christ with them. Right? That regardless of the color or how the other person looks or dresses, we can be together and be one in Christ with them. I'm not saying we have to agree and be okay with what those folks do. I'm not saying we have to all try and look the same, right? There are some people who draw on these kinds of truths and say that the church should be colorblind, that it shouldn't acknowledge anything about race and culture. I think that's off base. I think God has given us all different colors and cultures, and there's a uniqueness to us that creates the beauty, that creates the power when we can find ways to come together instead of being separated. He doesn't want us to all be the same. He wants us to all be who he's designed us to be, but he wants us to be unified. Jesus came not just to rescue our personal souls, but also to rescue our relationships and reconcile them with each other. Because when we're all on the same page with Christ, we get to do that. Right? What's it like for us to be able to worship with folks who we don't agree with? We were laughing and joking about the President of the United States. What if he came here today? How comfortable would you be worshiping with Joe Biden being here? What's more important, your view of the church and what's going on there, or your political ideologies? Would you be okay in a place that had a bunch of different races and cultures, economic standings, and we all got mixed up in here and we were worshiping together? Would you be okay with that? Do you find how people look and dress more important than your view of what the church is and what Jesus is doing there. That's really what we're drilling down to. What is it that I'm finding more important? Where am I putting my values? Again, I'm not saying we have to agree with everybody. I'm not saying you can't have a disagreement. But man, what has happened to civil discourse? What has happened to being able to disagree with somebody and not saying blankety blank Joe Biden? Can I do that? Can I disagree without having to use those words? Can I disagree without doing personal attacks? Can I try and understand people who don't look and live like I do, as opposed to judging them and separating myself from them? Knowing my driving, what's my motivator? We've all got the same need. We're all a bunch of broken, lost people without Christ, us and them. Christ has this vision of bringing us together. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. At the cross, there's a unity that we can't fight against. If we're following Jesus, we need to acknowledge, oh, wait a minute, he did that on purpose. If as you're listening to me today, you are struggling with, oh my gosh, I can't stand those political folks. I don't know if I want to hang out with them. I don't like folks who look different and act different than me. I'm not sure I want to hang out with them. Maybe the first place we need to do, first thing we need to do is just stand closer to the cross. The closer we get to the cross and what Jesus did on that changes who I am. That's where I get my fuel from for unity. That's where I get love that I can share with other folks. We can't do this in our own power. Look at the world. Look at the world. That's how they're operating and doing it without Jesus. We ought to look different. Jesus came, he preached peace, not hostility. For through him, we all have access to the Father. If you are struggling with that, maybe it's time that we just take a moment and draw near for the cross. Consequently, so we formerly were all in need. Now we know that we all can be one in Christ. There's a consequence when it happens, when we all are able to bridge those differences and come together. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Think about some of the terminology there, right? I like fellow citizens, members of the household. We are the same family. Right? We've all got family members that we struggle hanging out with. Some we like, some not so much. But we still find reasons and ways to hang out together because we're family. Same thing happens in the church. There ought to be something that, regardless of all the arguments we can come up with, we ought to be able to say, you're my brother or sister in Christ. Joe Biden goes to church. He's my brother. How am I going to treat my brother? Strike that. I know some of us treat our siblings in tough ways. Do what's appropriate. I mean, how does Jesus want you to treat your sibling? There we go. Did I save that in time? I like some of the other analogy that Paul uses in this passage. Built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. That in the past, there's been something going on. Jesus and God has been digging a hole, pouring cement, laying foundation so that we can build something cooler on top. The foundation's in the past. Jesus has now become the chief cornerstone. The foundation's been laid. The cornerstone is ready and in place. We are ready to build something. We're ready to build a temple. We're ready to build a temple with us. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Admittedly, when we hang out in church, we talk a lot about our personal relationship with God, and that's appropriate, and that the Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of each one of us as individually. But I want you to take a look at what Paul's writing here. Paul is saying that as his church, the people, come together, something really cool happens. We become a temple. As we gather together on a Sunday morning and do worship, and as we gather together and listen to God's word being preached, we become a temple. God's Spirit comes and dwells with us corporately in different ways and manifests itself in different aspects than we get with just our personal relationship. We are meant to be in community. We are meant to be gathering together to do these things. There's no such thing as a lone ranger Christian. You can't do it on your own because you miss this, that there's something we gain by coming together. How have we been viewing the church up to now? Have you ever viewed that what happens when a group of people gather together and worship God is not just a group of people gathering together? It's a group of people building a temple for God's Spirit to come hang out in. It happens on Sundays. It happens when we do Bible studies. Think about the cool opportunities we've got to be part of and in God's temple. What are the things we're allowing to get in the way of our temple? Are we letting our political affiliations and ideologies get in the way of building the temple? What's more important, your political ideologies or building a temple of God? Do we get what people look like or how they talk? Or their culture? Do we let those things separate us? Or do we make building a temple of God more important than that? Where do we set our values? If we're looking to want to be part of and build a temple of God, hostility doesn't have a place. Jesus came to bridge those gaps between people so that we could be part of something bigger and better. I would like to ask the band to come up. And while they are, I just want you to take a few minutes. Let's just take a moment in prayer here. Go ahead and bow your heads if you'd like. I just want us to think, reflect back on who we've been for the last week or two. What is it that we've allowed into our life? What is it that we've been expressing? Has it been building the peace that Jesus has brought? Or have I allowed the culture to get in the way of that? See, we live in a world that is messed up. They don't know the secret to unity and peace. Father, I pray that you would just give us eyes to be able to see your heart, your will, on being able to be people of peace. Lord, let it start with us. Let it start right here. But God, you've called us on a mission. There's a whole messed up world out there who doesn't get it. Their only hope is that we're able to model it for them. God, this isn't just about us being able to live in peace. This is about us being able to model the light and love of who Jesus Christ is so that the rest of the world can see you in us. This is just a super practical place where people ought to be able to see the difference of Jesus living in us versus how the world is choosing to deal with each other. God, pray that you would give us a heart for your unity, for your peace. Let us be that light to be able to help the world see that there's a different way, that we don't need to be hostile with those who are different or those we disagree with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Y'all can stand.